Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
I'm like, I never heard of such a
group. You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
Good evening. We are back and better than ever. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com. Tonight we're on Facebook Live. But the show is on blogtalkradio.com. And on the web, it's ronkellyshow.com. You can catch up with me on Twitter at R. Kelly Show. Or Kelly Radio, I'm sorry. On Facebook, it's the Ron Kelly Show, facebook.com/Ron Kelly Show. And on Instagram, it's Real R. Kelly One. Thank you, everybody, for joining me this afternoon. Man, we got so much to talk about. This Trump nonsense. You know, Kaepernick is out of the league. And, you know, just when you thought that this kneeling situation would come to an end, here comes Trump bringing it back. We're going to talk a lot about that this afternoon. And we're going to talk, and I have something I need to go back to that I'm going to talk about a little bit later on in the program. But we're going to start off with the Trump nonsense. And, you know, and again today, you know, Trump doubled down on his criticism of NFL players. And when do you get this spoiled rich? Trump doubled down Tuesday on his criticism of NFL players that kneel during the national anthem. And by the way, you Giant fans, I feel for you, you Giant fans, 0-3. Sorry, but don't hate us. So Trump doubled down Tuesday on his criticism of NFL players kneeling during the national anthem. He called the kneeling a disgrace and blatantly disrespectful to veterans who fought for the flag and the country. And even today in a little Rose Garden ceremony, he said that I don't think you can disrespect our country, our flag, and our national anthem. Now, let me say this now. One way of honoring the flag, honoring this great country we live in today, is to put on the uniform of our armed forces and serve. This is something that Mr. Trump did not do. He got not one, not two, not three, not four, but five, count them, five deferments. The first four deferments he got, and this is during the Vietnam War era, and Mr. Trump got five deferments. And look it up if you don't know what deferment means. Now, he got five deferments. Four he got for educational purposes, which, you know, saying I'm in college and I can't serve right now. So he got those four deferments. Then he got one for bone spurs. Bone spurs in his foot. So, Mr. Trump, you disrespected this country by making excuses, you know, being cowardly, by making excuses not to serve this country. So kneeling is not even, not anywhere near as disrespectful as it is to make up excuses and not serve the United States of America. So glad to have you all here. It's a few minutes past the hour. It's September 26, 2017. You're listening to the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. So just, you know, white folks are afraid to talk about race. White folks are afraid, or not, maybe not afraid, but white folks are uncomfortable talking about race. Because if you notice, you know, with this kneeling, everyone connects it to the flag. Oh, they're disrespecting the military, they're disrespecting the flag, which is not true. It's just not true. You see, nobody wants to talk about the reason why Kaepernick started, Colin Kaepernick, former 49ers quarterback. Nobody wants to talk about the reason why he started this in the first place. No one is talking about that. Not the sportscasters, not the newscasters, not the no one is talking about that. They're staring far away as they can from the reason why Colin Kaepernick started this kneeling thing in the first place. And then there are folks who are saying, oh, well, do it on your own time. Why do it during the national anthem? Why not? I mean, if you're going to protest, you're not going to do it in your bathroom. You're going to do it somewhere where you're going to get people who, you know, you want to do it where you can get the most attention. So Colin Kaepernick starts this kneeling while he was a quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. Now, Colin Kaepernick on their team now because they say he would be a distraction. But see, but the reason why Colin Kaepernick started it in the first place is because of police brutality. That's what it was about, police brutality. You know, innocent, well, I wouldn't say innocent, but unarmed black men being killed by police. And there's a long list. And, you know, and I'm a police supporter. I support the police, not the bad ones. But I do support the police. I don't think that all police are bad. Okay, let me just start with that. I don't think all police are bad people. But there are some, like, you know, there are some rogue police officers who are not fit. Who are not fit to be on the police force. This latest one, Jason Stockley, St. Louis Police Department, who was heard on a radio transmission, the tape of radio transmission saying, we're going to kill this mother effer. Number one, piece of evidence. Number two, the gun that he says he found in the brother's car that he killed only had his DNA on it. It didn't have the man who he shot. He did, his DNA was not on the gun. The only gun, the only DNA that was on the gun was Officer Stockley's, the former Officer Stockley's DNA. So what happened? The man wiped it off while he was dying? Like, oh, I'm dying. Let me get rid of the evidence. Wait, what? And what Officer Stockley did is what most police officers do, is that they ask for a bench trial. Now, a bench trial means that there's no jury. So, you know, and you can just about bet your last dollar that the judge is not going to vote to convict. So Colin Kaepernick started this campaign of kneeling because he wanted to bring attention to the brutalization of black men, unarmed black men, the killing of unarmed black men. That's why he started his kneeling campaign. Okay. And see, nobody's talking about that. You know, people, because like I said, white folks, and some folks, white folks, well-meaning white folks who don't necessarily believe in the racism as bad as it is because they don't practice it. And that's what happens with some folks. Well, I don't do that, so it's not that bad. Oh, well, you know, I don't do certain things, so they're not that bad. And they lose touch with reality in some ways. They lose touch with reality in some ways. And some, many white folks who just don't, you know, just don't, can't connect with this thing. So Colin Kaepernick started. So the reason why Colin Kaepernick is kneeling is being blown past everybody. No one is talking about it. Oh, he's disrespecting the flag. Oh, he's disrespecting the troops. This isn't about the troops. It isn't even about the flag. It's about the brutalization of unarmed black men by police. You know, when I saw Philando Castile, you know, with his girlfriend, played the Facebook Live. She posted or she filmed, she put herself on Facebook Live, killing by St. Anthony police officer Geronimo Yanez, who's still on the force, by the way. Not sure what he's doing. I don't know if he's on patrol or not. But the man, the police officer, is still on the force. Now, I watched that video, just completely heartbroken. I mean, I've seen some of the other things that happened, and I was affected by that, but I was really affected by Philando Castile. The murder of Philando Castile by St. Anthony police officer Geronimo Yanez. because the man was sitting in his car. It was minding his own business. Now, this is a man who had been stopped 52 times. 52 times Philando Castile had been stopped prior to the day he was murdered. 52 times the man was pulled over by the police. Can you imagine? 52 separate times Philando Castile was pulled over by the St. Anthony Police Force. 52 times. So what are you going to find 52 times? And the 53rd time, or was it the 52nd time, was the last time. Because St. Anthony Police Officer Geronimo Yanez stuck his Glock through that window and fired into Philando Castile's chest 4 times. And, you know, and the kicker, well, there's a lot of kickers here, but one of the biggest kickers is that Philando's daughter was sitting right behind him. What if he would have missed? What if Officer Yanez would have missed the 4-year-old daughter sitting right behind? So she was a witness to the murder of her father. That's just something that she's going to have to deal with for the rest of her life. She's going to have to deal with that for the rest of his life. Thank you, Lamont Gates. So that's something that she's going to have to deal with for the rest of her life. The daughter of Philando Castile is going to have to deal with the fact that her father was murdered right in front of her. You see, so this isn't about the flag, and this isn't about, the military. What he's doing is not about that. It's about the murder of unarmed black men by rogue police officers. And once again, I'm a police supporter. I'm a police supporter. What kind of world will we have without them? So I'm definitely a police supporter, but I don't support the murder of unarmed black men. So you have, you have your white folks, and I'm not racist or anything like that. I'm not antithetical to white people. I get along well with them. They get along with me, I get along with them. I have no preconceived notions about them or anything like that. You see, but white folks, because they don't perpetrate racism, they just don't believe that it happens. This isn't about the flag. This isn't about the military. And nobody's talking about that. Nobody wants to talk about the murder of innocent black motorists by the police. And you see, and you have your people. I see on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and most of the, I'm connected with most of the social media sites. And you have a lot of folks who say, well, you shouldn't have ran. Really? Running is a capital crime now? Now, I do believe that, that our people should. Although I have a problem with the fact that I have to act a certain way in order not to get killed, as opposed to someone else who gets a traffic ticket and they rule on them every way. Do I have a problem with the fact that I have to act differently than other people? Yeah, I do. Because I'm a human being just like any other ethnic group. So why do I have to act different as a black man? Why do I have to act different to save my life after getting pulled over for running a stop sign or something like that, which I don't do, but why do I have to, because I'm a black, so it's the black man's guide to not getting killed by police? I mean, is that what it's about? Because back in the day, they used to have a green book. I'll pull it up. They used to have a book, the Sundown book, back in the day, back in the 50s and 60s. They used to have a book, a guide, just like you have now, like a guide to, like a AAA book. They used to have a guide that would tell you what towns to avoid after a certain time. It was a book. It was sold. It was widely circulated. Black folks needed a book to tell them what towns to avoid after dark. You see, some people go around waving the flag, oh, America the Beautiful, and there's a lot of good things about this country. But this country has a checkered past, if you will. The United States has a checkered past. Racism. Slavery. Yeah, I'm not, one of the, I'm not one of those people who talk about slavery on a regular basis or ad nauseum like they say. I don't do that. But This country has a past. And see, this is what people don't want to talk about. People don't want to talk about slavery, and people don't want to talk about racism, and people don't want to talk about police officers killing unarmed black motorists. People don't want to talk about that. No. People don't want to talk about that. Mostly white people. And like I said, I'm not racist or anything like that. I'm not, you know, I'm cool with everybody. But Trump and Trump who disrespected the flag by not serving in the military. And now his sons, Eric and Donald Trump Jr., also have deferments. So it's just cowardice is running in the family. You know, so you're the commander-in-chief of the armed forces of the United States of America. Never served a day in the military. Fred, I suppose, made arrangements for you not to serve in Vietnam. It's good to have you here. We've got a lot going on here today. It's the Ron Kelly Show. It's about, I'm not even sure. It's about 17 minutes past the hour. We'll take a quick break. And I can regroup here. And, you know, the world was supposed to end on September 23rd. It didn't. And so this person is trying to reset the clock. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about more Trump nonsense. And I want to talk to baby boomers and the Gen Xers, Generation Xers, who might remember what I'm in this area, what I'm about to talk about. In the next break. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come right back with more of this program. It's the Ron Kelly Show and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Some statistics are surprising, some are unbelievable, and some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC.
Anything to avoid the truth. We'll get back to that in a moment. But so the war was supposed to come on the 23rd. Biblically, man. Fairly widespread and evangelical belief that for 7 years, catastrophic events would wreak havoc on Earth. I mean, the way things are going with Irma and Jose and Harvey and whatever else is going on, two earthquakes in Mexico. I mean, we don't need this guy to tell us that because it appears that's already happening. Now, he says, hold on and watch. Wait until the middle of October, and I don't believe you'll be disappointed. Oh, really? So the world ends, and we're not disappointed? I mean, give me a break. And he's promoting his book. He claims his book has all the details. And he says, you don't have long to read it. So, in other words, the clock is ticking. October 17th. October 15th is the new date that the world comes to an end. Now, it says here that he earned a lot of publicity for peddling a widely debunked claim that a planet called Nibiru, which has an African name, isn't that interesting, is on a course toward Earth. When it passes the planet later this year, earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, tidal waves, and other catastrophes would ensue. And other predictions claim that Nibiru, this planet, was becoming Taurus would collide with the Earth on September 23rd. So NASA, of course, has said, no, this isn't true. The planet doesn't exist, or there will be no collision. The story of Nibiru has been around for years, as has the Days of Darkness tale, and is periodically recycled into new apocalyptic fables, NASA says. So in case you didn't know, the world was supposed to end on the 23rd, 3 days ago. It did not, as we all know. So we'll see what happens on October 15th, 2017. In any case, it's the Ron Kelly Show. For all the ones, for 75,000 or so who listen on the radio, it's the Ron Kelly Show on blogtalkradio.com every Tuesday, 6 p.m. for now. And this is what we do. So, I don't know. Let me start with this segment with this. Back in the day, for the Gen Xers and the baby boomers, back in the day, when I was much younger, we used to go to a place called, what we called the Jew Town. I mean, you couldn't call it Jew Town today because of the politically correct such, 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 such. But anyway, we used to call it Jew Town. It was in Lower Manhattan, Lower East Side of Manhattan. Jewtown. And it was a place you can go to buy leather jackets and shoes and sneakers and all the other stuff that we were wearing back then. And it was a lot cheaper than shopping in New Jersey because in New York, I don't believe there's any taxes on clothes under a certain amount. So Jewtown was a concentration of Jewish merchants who had a variety of stores and worked together. And I remember that one merchant didn't have what you needed. Call another merchant who he wasn't connected with, besides the Jewish heritage. He wasn't connected with this other merchant, but he called. They called around to the different merchants to see who had what we were looking for. They didn't have. They worked collectively. They worked together, and they didn't worry about competing with each other. Now, many different ethnic groups work together and do business in groups in many urban centers all across America, including where I'm from. Now, I understand in the Jewish community, it said that the dollar circulates 11 to 12 times, as does the dollar in Chinatown, Little Italy, Little India, and many ethnic communities across the country. But in Jersey City, and incidentally, in Jersey City, where I'm from, there's a 4 to 5 block stretch of stores on Newark Avenue. I don't know if any of you are from Jersey City, where it goes from Kennedy Boulevard all the way down to Tunley Avenue. It's about a 4 or 5 block stretch where they were to Indian folks, and they sell, you know, the way it looks, you wouldn't have to leave the block because they sell everything, applying. The only thing they don't sell is cars. So when you go to these communities, you see who... You know, when you go into these communities, like Chinatown, for example, you see a bunch of people, a bunch of Chinese people, so you a bunch of, not Oriental, but you see a bunch of Asian, so you know it's Chinatown. You go to Little Italy, you see a lot of people waving their hands or whatever. Little India. But there's no mistaking who, and there's still mistaking who lives in these communities because you see a concentration of those people. Well, that certain ethnic group. See, but when you come to the black community, there's no mistaking the black community either. Who lives there? There's no mistaking that either. So when you come into the black community, what you find is desperation, destruction, desolation, and despair. So what's the cause? You know, why can't we get it together and come together like some of the other ethnic groups? And let me, you know, let me, and see, here's the thing. We're being sold a dream, and not necessarily about white people. Because you know, because we're always, you know, you always hear in the black community, more money, more money, more money. Give us more money for education. Give us more money for, you know, this and that and the other. More money. Phone number 646-668-283 for my radio audience. 646-668-283. Let me say that a little slower because somebody hit me on Twitter and told me I talked too fast. 646-668-2838 for my radio audience. Okay. So here's the thing. We're being sold a dream, and not necessarily by white people, but by our own so-called leaders. Reverend Al Sharpton, who I respect, not a big problem with him, who I respect. Well, but there's profit in poverty. Let me say that again. There's profit in poverty. See, because, you know, I listen to some of these other radio shows. And, you know, I'm not jealous, but I need stretch of the imagination. I produce this show and I can say what I want. And I like that. But I listen to some of these other radio shows and, you know, and the whole premise of the show is based on people calling into the program and saying stuff that just is ridiculous and not true. Black folks. So the majority of these folks, when they call into these shows, they talk about what the white man is doing and what we need. We need more money for education. We need more of this. We need more of that. We need more of the other. More. I beg to differ. Because, you know, we keep with this. Money is not going to solve the problems of the black community. Building more schools, and, you know, not everybody who commits a crime does it because they're hungry. You know, drug use and abuse is one of the number one reason why crime even takes place in the black community. You know, quality of life, and robberies, and, you know, and these things. So, you know, more money is not going to solve the problems in the black community. More schools is not going to solve the problem. See, because the kids have to want to go. I was reading a text from Brother K Civilized, who I know. He used to cut my hair back in the day when I lived in Patterson. Brother KC, the barbershop there on East 18th. And East 18th I forget the street I used to live on, 16th, somewhere in that area. Between 16th and Market Street, I believe, Brother KC. And he posted a picture on Instagram when he was at a meeting. And this is in Patterson, New Jersey, with Joey Torres, the fourth mayor in recent history, two in Patterson, to bite the dust. I'll get to that a little later on about the corruption in New Jersey, and New Jersey being called the capital of corruption, which it's earning its name. So, what happens is this. Now, you know, Brother KC took a picture of a meeting, Board of Education meeting, where the superintendent, I believe, was supposed to be there at this meeting. And there were about 8 people there. Now, this is a Board of Education meeting, and there was only 8 people there. Now, if everybody is so concerned about schools, and why were only 8 people there? What was that about? There was only 8 people there. It doesn't make any sense. So you mean to tell me that more money is going to increase our interest in schools? Is it because of, you know, and I spoke to somebody in the barbershop one day. I mean, there's just so many people walking around with this mindset. And I spoke to somebody on the I was at the barbershop the other day. I spoke to someone who was espousing the same nonsense about more money for schools, more money for this, more money for that. You know, I mean, my contention is that more schools is not going to change the mind. If the kid doesn't want to go, the kid doesn't want to. We use a lot of excuses in the black community about why these things are happening. You need to get off of that. We need to get off of that. Like I said, you come into the black community, it's like a war zone. And I know a lot of you out there don't want to hear it. Not really, not concerned with that. You know, I'm sorry. Well, no, I'm not sorry. But, you know, you come into the black community, and it's like a war zone. Desperation, destruction, desolation, despair, all these. And then we talk about we need more money. We need more jobs. More jobs are going to solve the problems of the black community? No. Is more money going to solve the problem of the black community? No. And we're going to go to a portion of this program will be broadcast on Periscope. So we'll be ending our Facebook Live segment of the program in the next break, which is going to happen in about 6 minutes. So we're going to end our Facebook Live, and we're going to switch to Periscope, which is what we do sometimes, because I have some more people watch the program on Periscope than they do on Facebook Live. So we have this issue with everybody's crying for more money. You know, I just don't believe that more money. I mean, do we need better schools? Yes. Do we need better schools, new schools? Yes. But is it going to compel a child to want to go to school? It might. But is it going to increase the graduation rate in our schools? Where mostly black schools. Is it going to increase our new schools? Going to increase the our new schools going to increase the graduation rate? Will test scores go up? I don't know. Is it going to compel a child to want to go to school? No, I don't think so. Because you have to stop looking at the government and. Because as you can see, especially in the Trump administration, you can see how they're chopping, you know, our heads off. This latest bill, Graham Cassidy, it was going to leave even more. See, because the whole thing is to kill Medicaid. That's the whole idea with the Republicans and the Trump administration is to kill entitlement programs which we mostly depend on. I mean, white folks do too in a big way because there's a lot more of them than us. But in regards to who, there's more of them on it than us because there's more of them, period, than us. I'm sure, you know, in the black community, Medicare is very important. And see, so the whole idea with the Trump administration is to cut it. So this bill, I thank God there's some Republicans there's some Republicans with conscience. There's, you know, Susan Collins of Maine and John McCain of Arizona, you know, who's gotten a really bad prognosis for his brain cancer, they say he has. Not expected to, well, they haven't come out and said it, but he's probably not expected to be around. At least 80 years old, so. I don't say that to say that, oh, well, whatever, he's lived his life. But he has lived his life. So, Trump wants to cut as much from the entitlement programs as he can. Because they do believe that you should carry your own weight. That's the mantra of the Republican Party, the Freedom Party and the rest of them, the Tea Party. The Tea Party, yeah, new name then. So yeah, but I don't think that money is going to change what's going on in the black community. It might slightly, but is it a cure-all? No. You know, and we have to stop depending on the government because they're trying to take away what's there now. So we have to stop trying to depend on the government. Okay, so in a couple of minutes, we're gonna end our Facebook Live broadcast. We're going to move over to Periscope because we have a big, you know, wide audience of Periscope folks there. So we're just taking a, you know, see which one will eventually wind up staying on, which I'm thinking will probably be Periscope. And we may do a Facebook Live occasionally. So anyway, it's Twitter. It's on Twitter. It's R. Kelly Radio. On Facebook is Ron Kelly Show, and on Instagram is Real R. Kelly 1. So when we come back on the other side, as a matter of fact, we'll be on Periscope. So all my listeners who listen to the show via Block Talk Radio, you just stand by. And we're going to leave Facebook Live and go over to Periscope. But we do like to try, you know, we're trying to figure out which one is going to be what. But we'll take a break. We'll say goodbye to our Facebook Live watchers, whoever was watching. And we will take a break, everybody, on radio. So we'll be right back with more in just a few minutes. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
The Ron Kelly Show, and on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Oh no, I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products, USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great prize.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. BIRKETT Promotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A plus rating.
Hi, I'm Amanda Pete. Like all new parents, my husband and I want what's best for our baby. When it was time for our daughter's immunizations, we wanted the facts. So we carefully researched vaccines. We spoke with doctors and other experts and asked some tough questions. We decided that vaccines were the best thing for our child. I urge you to get the facts. Learn the facts about vaccines so you can make the best healthcare decisions for your family. Thank you.
A message from the American Academy of Pediatrics and VaccinateYourBaby.org.
So coming to the stage is a really funny guy. Y'all know him. Put your hands together. Give it up for George Wilborn.
Folks, why won't we go to the doctor? My uncle called, speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He calls everybody under the sun, Aunt Peyton, his old army buddy George. He even called my daughter Tierra, because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love have symptoms of stroke, don't call family. Don't dial a friend. Don't wait. It may be too late. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Your bathroom break is over.
Here we go!
Welcome back. Welcome.
Really?
Now I can do what I planned to do this morning.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. It's about 20 minutes before the hour. It's the Ron Kelly Show every Tuesday evening from 6 p.m. to 7 to p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com and on the AM FM Broadcasting Network. Okay, we just flipped over to... We were on Facebook Live. We just flipped over to, what's the name of this thing? Periscope. So welcome to the Periscope folks. So we're talking about, you know, what's going on in the world today and, you know, and the Trump and the NFL nonsense. You know, and people, nobody is talking, as I said earlier, I'm just going to reboot for everybody. Nobody is talking about why Colin Kaepernick started this thing in the first place. There's nobody talking about that. They're all avoiding white folks, you know, and again, I'm not a separatist or racist. I have nothing against white people. But white folks are just not, they just don't really want to talk about this. Because this isn't about the flag or the military. This isn't about that. It's about police officers who kill unarmed black men. That's what this is about. So this isn't about spoiled millionaire athletes. And, you know, and Trump, let me just play this piece. You know, I got the sound bites here. Let me just play this sound bite from Trump at this Alabama Klan rally that Trump loves to Let me play this piece from the Trump Alabama rally where he talked about the NFL. Listen to this. Let me just play this piece.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now, out, he's fired. He's fired! Wouldn't you love it?
Now, did you hear that? USA, USA, get the son of a bitch off the field. Now, 70% of the NFL is black. 70% of the NFL is black. So when he said, first of all, not even the fact that he shouldn't be using that kind of language. You're the president of the United States, leader of the free world, the president of the United States, and you're using the term son of a bitch in your campaign speech. Now, who the hell is still campaigning after they win the election? And see, this is the evidence of the megalomaniac, you know, that Trump actually is. He loves attention. He loves the spotlight. Whenever Trump is feeling down, whenever he's feeling unloved, he holds a rally in Tennessee. Or some other place so he can feel, you know, a little love. Now, you know, I'm a patriot. I consider myself as a patriot. I'm a proud American. Despite what's going on right now, I'm proud American. You know, because when George Bush was the president, when George Bush was the president, I supported, you know, because as a patriot, as a true patriot, you support whoever's in the office. You support the office of the President of the United States of America. And I do support the office, but I don't support the office holder. You see, because Trump calls kneeling disgraceful and disrespectful to veterans. Now, Mr. Trump had 5 opportunities to be a veteran. He chose not to. 5 deferments. Count them. 5. 5 deferments. 4 for education. And 1 because he says he has bone spurs. And to add insult to injury, now the Trump sons, Donald Jr. and Eric, also have deferments. So they can't fight if something breaks out in North Korea and there's some kind of conventional war and it's not a nuclear war. Or if there's a war if Russia tries to bum rush one of the Warsaw Pact countries, Latvia, one of those countries, and there's a conventional war. Now the Trump sons have deferments. So one of the ways that you honor the country is when you have an opportunity to serve this country. If you're a real patriot, if you say you love this country, and when you have an opportunity to serve, when you have an opportunity to put on that uniform, that's what you do. You put that uniform on. And you go where you're sent, and you uphold the Constitution of the United States of America, and you go out there and fight. See, Mr. Trump did not fight. He did not fight. He did not go to war. He chose to defer. So he didn't even, for 5 times, he got a deferment. 1 time it was for medical, for bone spurs, he says. Now, you know, I mean, everybody has bone spurs. everybody has bone spurs. But Mr. Trump is saying that the kneeling is disgraceful, disrespectful to veterans. Well, guess what, Mr. Trump? Getting a deferment when you have an opportunity to fight for this country is disgraceful as well. That's disgraceful too. So you had an opportunity to go out there. You had an opportunity to go out and fight for this country, and you chose not to. You chose a cowardly way out. So how in the world can you sit there and call out NFL players for kneeling? And see, the kneeling isn't about the flag. See, that's the okey-doke that's being pushed on people. The kneeling is not about the flag. It has nothing to do with the flag. It has nothing to do with the military. That's the, you know, that's the rope-a-dope that you know, and white folks, for the lack of a better word, are perpetrating out here by saying that, see, because nobody wants to talk about the murder of unarmed black men. No one wants to talk about that. No one wants to talk about that. So they push it on the flag, disrespecting the flag, disrespecting the military, disrespecting the first responders. I mean, give me a break. Really? This is not Philando Castile. Philando Castile was stopped 52 times. 52 times Philando Castile was stopped before he was finally murdered by St. Anthony police officer Geronimo Yanez, who stuck his Glock through the window of that man's car and shot him in the chest 4 times with Philando Castile's daughter in the back seat. Philando Castile's daughter was in the back seat of the car. And Officer Yanez, who's still an officer, by the way, shot this man 4 times in the chest. This man who was armed but had a legal gun permit and was not reaching for the gun. See, so the problem is that, okay, things happen. Okay. But look what happens. When these things happen, these police officers are guaranteed a walk. And, you know, I'm a police supporter. Don't get me wrong. And people say, well, how could you support the police and talk about the police at the same time? I support the good ones. That's what I support. I support the good police. I don't support the bad ones, the ones who kill people, like St. Louis police officer Jason Stokely, I believe his name is, who was heard on a recording, because everything he said in the police car is recorded, who was heard on a recording saying, we're going to kill this mother effer. We're going to kill this mother effer. That's what Officer Stockley said. And then he turned around and says that he found a gun. He says he found a gun in this brother, in this black man's car. But guess what? The man's fingerprints weren't on the gun. Guess whose DNA was on the gun? Only one DNA was on the gun, and that was the DNA of Officer Stockley. Nobody else's DNA was on the gun but his. And here's what Stockley said. I'm going to play a little clip. Here's what Stockley said in an interview he gave with the St. Louis Dispatch. Here's what he said about when he killed this man.
I did not murder Anthony Lamar Smith. I did not plant a gun. As I testified at trial and to homicide on the day of, it was an imminent threat to my life. I had to. The taking of a life is the most significant thing that one can do. And it's not something that is done lightly. And it's not something that should ever be celebrated. And it's just a horrible experience altogether. But sometimes it's necessary. This is a completely reactionary event. If he takes off on car, we follow. He turns left, we turn left. And unfortunately, you're reacting in those few seconds, and you have to make decisions based on limited information and limited time. And they're the most important decision you ever make, because it could be your last. And it's very stressful, and in the end, regardless of what happens, nobody wins. I do not remember stating that we are going to kill this motherfucker. I think, don't you know it? The first time that I heard that was when I met with the FBI. And I gave them the same answer that I'm giving you now, which was, I don't recall saying it, but I never denied it.
Yeah, don't recall saying it, but you don't deny it. You don't recall saying it. See, this is the problem, you know, ladies and gentlemen. This is the problem, and those who are listening It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Usually on Facebook Live, but we're on Periscope right now. But so oh man, I mean, so you know, these things are, see, so this kneeling, this Kaepernick thing has nothing to do with the flag. It has nothing to do with the military. You know, when they kneeled down, you know, when they kneeled down, the Dallas Cowboys kneeled last night before the anthem. But when the anthem was played, they stood and they honored the flag. Now, you know, folks who say, well, why is he doing it during the national anthem? Okay, well, why not? I mean, you know, if you want to bring attention to yourself, you're going to do it on the biggest stage. That's why people perform in Times Square, because there's thousands of people walking around in Times Square. And you know, if you want to perform, if you want to bring attention to yourself, you're going to do it somewhere where there's a lot of people. And you know, football, despite the drop in the ratings that everybody's, you know, perpetuating that fraud, but saying that football is still the biggest stage. So if you want to bring attention to yourself, you're not going to do it in the bathroom. So this has nothing to do with the flag. It has nothing to do with disrespecting the military. It has nothing to do with that. That's the okey-doke that we're being sold. That's what we're being told, that it's about the military. It's not about the military. But the killing of unarmed black men is like the uncle that you shove in a closet at Thanksgiving because you don't want anybody to see him. That's what that's about. So nobody wants to talk about race. Nobody wants to talk about what's happening with police officers. And again, I'm a police supporter. I support the police. I support good police. I don't support bad ones. And, you know, this isn't about... You know, this isn't about the flag, and it isn't about the military. And Trump, who got 5 deferments, who was too cowardly to even serve this country, who would not go to Vietnam, who wouldn't serve, is now talking about, kneeling is disrespectful. No, kneeling isn't disrespectful, Mr. Trump. Getting deferments is disrespectful. Being too cowardly to fight for your country, that's disrespectful. Not kneeling during the national anthem. There was this country, there are people in this country who are not being afforded the rights and privileges of the Constitution of the United States of America. There are people who are not being afforded those same rights as other people are. White people don't have to worry about getting shot unless they do something wrong. Why should I? There would have been black, you know, there's a black, a book for blacks. You know, we have to act a certain way. Everybody else can do what they want. I've seen, you know, video of white people who've done the most egregious things, attacking the police officers and everything else, punching them in the face the whole nine. Don't get shot. The black person, like Officer Yanez, cowardly lion who shot Philando Castillo, shot him. Nobody said America is a racist country. America is not a racist country. Nobody said that. I never said America was a racist country. But what I will say is that white people get shot by cops when they do something wrong. That's when white people get shot by cops, when they do something wrong. You better believe me, if a police officer shoots a white person, it's justified. They there was a gun pulled on them. They make sure they have that buttoned up when a white person gets killed. So I'm not saying that the country is racist. Or, you know, America is not a racist country. What I'm saying is that, and I support the police officers, but there are some racist police officers They shoot, right, they shoot people for no reason, whoever that is. Yeah. They shoot people for no reason. Police officers shoot. No, that's not a fact. Every black person shot has been a professional criminal. That, but even if they are criminal, you know, we have a justice system. We have a justice system that's supposed to take care of that. We're not the judge, jury, and executioner. Now, there's about a minute and a half left of the show, but I'm going to stay on Periscope. I'm going to end the show on blogtalkradio.com. The folks who are listening, the 75,000 or so who are listening on Blog Talk Radio, I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. We're going to continue this discussion on Periscope. So those of you, it's the Ron Kelly Show. I'm on Periscope right now. So those of you who want to continue this conversation, we can. There's about a minute left of the program. So all the folks who are listening to the Ron Kelly Show on Blog Talk Radio, I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon. We're going to continue on Facebook. This conversation is getting a little hot and heavy over there. So we're going to continue the conversation on Facebook. So those of you who are listening to the Ron Kelly Show on blogtalkradio.com, you can switch over to Periscope. You can find me on Periscope, the Ron Kelly Show, and we can continue discussion from there. All right. Okay, everybody. So thank you so much for joining me. We'll see you back here next Tuesday afternoon, 6 o'clock, for another edition of the Ron Kelly Show. You can follow me on Twitter. It's R. Kelly Radio. On Facebook, it's the Ron Kelly Show. And on Instagram, it's Real R. Kelly One. So next week, everybody, thank you so much for joining me. We'll see you back here for another edition of the Ron Kelly Show next Tuesday afternoon. So until then, just be safe out there.